Good morning. I'm delighted to be here, and please allow me to bring you greetings on behalf of your brothers and sisters from the country of Romania, especially from Emmanuel Baptist Church from Oradea. I'm here with my wife, Amalia, and we are delighted to worship together with you the Lord Jesus Christ, the most wonderful Savior, the only Savior, Jesus. Thank you for your love for the Lord, and also thank you for your love for all God's people around the world. Thank you for your investment in ministry, in people, not only here in UK, but also in some other countries. I turned to Christ when I was between 16 and 17 years old. And when I was 20 years old, the Lord called me to be a pastor. So I graduated Emmanuel School of Theology, Emmanuel University from Oradea. And after that, I joined the pastoral team in Emmanuel with this responsibility to oversee the ministry in the village churches. During the years, we planted several village churches. And right now we do have seven of them. I am traveling almost every Sunday in at least two of these village churches, encouraging them, preaching there, and working with the brothers from there. But as you figure out, I cannot work by myself, so I need some people to work with, co-workers. And by the grace of God, we had for years an SGA mission school in our city, so some of the graduates are involved in the ministry. To God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be all the glory now and forever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be poured upon us this morning, and also may our hearts be wide open to the gospel this morning as well. As Jesus often taught in parables, please allow me to begin my message with one. Not long time ago, I was reading a sermon with a parable included, called The Parable of a Life-Saving Station. The Parable of a Life-Saving Station. So, it says in this parable that on a dangerous sea coast where shipwrecks offer a cure, there was once a little life-saving station. The building was just a hut. There was only one boat, but the few members were very devoted. Day and night, they were out tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station. So in time, it became famous. Some of those who were saved, and also various other people, wanted to become associated with the station and give their money, their time, but also their effort to the support of its work. So new boats were bought and new crews were trained. The little station grew. In time, some of the new members were unhappy with the building. They felt that a more comfortable place is required for their mission. So they enlarged the building and they changed the beds and the furniture inside. Now, the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members. And it was very nice and warm inside. Unfortunately, most of the members lost their interest in life-saving mission. People were now too busy with some other activities. So at the annual meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities because they considered them too risky. So also, they saw the people who were saved from waves as dirty, sick, some of them with a different skin color. Some spoke a strange language, and the beautiful new club was often messed up. Still, some members insisted that their primary purpose was that of life-saving. So they insisted to go there and do their and accomplish their goal. But finally they were voted down and told that if they wanted to save some other people, they can begin their own life-saving station down the coast. So they did. And as the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old. They evolved into a sort of club. And, you know, like is the saying in English, the history repeats itself. If you visit today the sea coast, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along the shore. Yes, the shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but now most of the people drown. As this parable points out, we as a church have a similar mission with this life-saving station. And our mission is to save the lost. But unfortunately, with the passing of time, many churches lose the sight of the original mission, lose the passion for the lost. And it's very sad to see that some churches just evolve into a sort of club and forget their purpose. So this morning, in order to not fall into these dangers, let's review firstly the mission of the church. What is the mission of the church? When we read the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Great Commission, according to Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go, preach the gospel to every creature. The mission of the church is to proclaim the gospel. Amen. The mission of the church is to bring the light of the gospel to those people who are in darkness. The mission of the church is there to save the lost from the waves of sin. Notice the main thought of Jesus' command here in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So Jesus didn't say, stay there, it's warm inside the walls of the church building. Maintain what you have. Have fun, enjoy your time of fellowship. No. Instead, he said, go. And this is his desire for us today, to go and proclaim faithfully the gospel to every creature, every Muslim, every Sikh, every formal Christian, every atheist, every homosexual, every person from this world needs Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, they are lost in their sins. Without Jesus, they are going into hell. People need the Lord today. People need the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Him is the hope for every creature. So we are called to preach the gospel to every person, because every person needs to hear that only Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. Why Jesus died for us? The Bible says that we are all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And because of that, Jesus Christ came on this earth, bear all our sins, And he died for all the wage of our sins. To him be the glory. But also Christ was raised from the dead. And people need to hear that we are worshiping a living Savior. A Savior who is alive. Who can change lives today. They change us. He changed us. So he can change today every person who comes in faith and obey him. Yes, people need to hear. Every person need to hear that Christ was crucified, was raised from the dead, but also that he is exalted as King and Savior, and he is coming again. And he is going to reward and bring both rest, but also judgment. So we have to proclaim faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us remember today that the mission of the church is not different at all from the mission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came on this earth in order to save sinners. So he proclaimed the gospel to them, and he gave his life for every one of us in order to save us. He came to bring the light of hope on this darkened world. His mission was to save people from their sins. And the mission of the church is the same with Christ. But also the mission of the church is the same with the mission of the early church. Please turn with me your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. It's a very familiar text, verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and then verse 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Yes, we are called on this earth to proclaim the praises of God. Why? Because God was made us his people. And we are called to proclaim his praises. What are these praises of God we are to proclaim? The text says here how we were called from darkness to his marvelous light. Verse 9, how we have become God's people. How we have obtained mercy. We are called to proclaim the praises of God. How? By proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, my brothers and sisters, our mission on the earth is to proclaim the praises of God. By proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death for us as sinners. He's raised from the dead. He's exalted as a King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is coming again. So let's proclaim faithfully his gospel and continue to bring the light of the gospel into this darkened world. So our mission is to proclaim the gospel. And let's remember today not only our mission, but also the danger of the misplaced emphasis. How we can fail our mission today, having misplaced emphasis. We can see misplaced emphasis in wrong priorities as believers today. It is very sad to see in the country of Romania now Christians who are looking more and more for material, for good, for goods in this world. They are searching their material welfare. And the priorities were changed step by step. It is sad to see the church in Laodicea, in Book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 17, as a church with wrong priorities, a church who placed goods, stuff, material things above spiritual blessings. So we can read there, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. And so on. It is also said that, to see that the same problem is experienced now in the churches today. It is evidenced by the time, also the energy we spend on the physical aspects of the church. Buildings, air conditioning, food for fellowship, become more and more in the top priorities of our life church. Not that the physical needs shouldn't be met, but something is wrong if we get more time, energy, and money for food, for building, than for the lost, saving the lost. Something is wrong if we spend more time in our business meetings as churches today, speaking about material issues of the ministry, more and more than spiritual issues. Let's remember today that we are called to have good priorities, holy priorities, working for the lost. The mission of the church has to be focused on spiritual, searching the lost, praying for the lost, fasting for them, inviting them to Jesus Christ, proclaiming the gospel to them. Our mission is a spiritual one. Yes, we can see misplaced emphasis into the church today in wrong priorities, but also in the preferences we have. Yes, unfortunately, we do have preferences. So often when we show preference in our efforts to save souls. Yes, we would like to see our family being a Christian one. Yes, we would like to see our friends coming to Lord Jesus Christ. But what about our enemies? What about the religious fanatics? I don't think so. I'm not ready to go to them. It's too risky, too dangerous. My beloved brothers and sisters, let us remember today that God shows no partiality. Look with me in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts, chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Every person. Doesn't matter the social distinctions, doesn't matter the racial distinctions, that doesn't matter the group distinctions. Every person is received by Jesus Christ. So seeing all this, we should not show preference on the basis of social distinctions or racial distinctions or group distinctions, because All the people from the world need the only Savior, the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to reach to the heaven, to the Father. Every person needs Jesus Christ. So today, let's ask ourselves, are we selective when we preach the gospel? Do we show partiality when it came to speak about Lord Jesus Christ with people? Let's have an open heart this morning and ask the Lord to search our hearts, to purify them, to fill our hearts with His love and a burden, a real burden for the lost. Let's conclude our message this morning with this question, a very simple one. What kind of life-saving station are we? The one who accomplish its purpose? A faithful one that really fulfilling its mission? Or, the second option, one that became a club, an exclusive club, one that evolved into something else that the Lord intended to. May the parable of the life-saving station remind us the folly of being the second. We have been given a noble mission to proclaim the praises of God, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's commit ourselves fully to the Lord this morning and working in order to accomplish the will of God for us. I invite you today to decide to make from your workplace, from your neighborhood, from your house, your mission field, and preach faithfully Jesus Christ there. I invite you this morning, in everything you do and are, decide to proclaim the praises of God, His mercy toward you, His love that saved you, His grace that brought you into God's family. Proclaim Jesus faithfully, praying and fasting. And also presenting to all the people the love of Jesus Christ through a holy life, through good deeds. Not for your glory, not for our glory, not for the church glory, but for the glory of the only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and for the eternal happiness of many lost people. To God be the glory, and make us in strength this morning to accomplish, to fulfill our mission. Amen.
Pastor Cosmin, before you go, can I ask you to pray for us? Phil, we need the prayers of you. I look at what God is doing in Europe, and we need that here in the UK. And that message tallies with what we've been talking about over recent weeks, so you don't know that, but we've been dealing with this issue, and we need help. Would you pray for us?
Lord, we bow before you. And you are the most wonderful one. You are the only God which exists. You are the Father who has an eternal love for us. You are a faithful God. And we are grateful because you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, on the earth to save us from our sins. Thank you because the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer and our Savior. But thank you because He is our Lord. And we cannot think this morning our life without Him, without obedience of Him. So Lord, we just want fully commit our life to Him. in his service. That's real life, Lord. Thank you for your message. It was your message. And thank you for the power of gospel. Thank you because you search and change my heart, my life. Thank you because you change so many people here today. And thank you because they are here because they love you. They are fully committed to you. Now, Lord, take us and use us for your glory. We look around us to this world lost in sin. And Lord, we are asking this world for you. We know that you love every person. Every creature was made by you. So Lord, we are asking this morning, please give us wisdom, give us power, give us your love to work for their salvation. I am so grateful for the pastor of the church, for all the leadership of this church. And Lord, I commit themselves in your hands. And Lord, please bless them. Give them a clear vision. But also your power to accomplish your goals here. Lord, I'm grateful for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for their encouragement for us. Now, Lord, I am praying for them. Make them a blessing for this nation. And use them, Lord, for the eternal happiness of many people. Those who are lost in their families, those who are lost in their workplace or neighborhood. Lord, save them for your glory. Thank you because you are a merciful God. And thank you because we can come in front of your throne. Not because we have merits, but through the merits of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, because you are so loving. You are so kind. Thank you because we can see in every day your holiness pour through the work of the Holy Spirit into us. Thank you because you are a marvelous God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.